It's a pleasure to be with you tonight. One of the things that I really enjoy in studying near-death experiences and in hearing them from people who have experienced them is near-death experiences that are shared by children. And the fun things about those is that they're seen from a child's point of view, and so they're kind of pristine and pure in many ways and are untainted by religious views or lack of religious views and other kinds of things. Kids have their own way of seeing things, and often children do not associate these kinds of experiences with death at all. The other thing I wanted to do is mention a few books on children's near-death experiences in case those of you who are here would like to read those. There's one called Closer to the Light by Melvin Morse, and one called Transformed by the Light. Those are two particularly well-done books on children's near-death experiences. The near-death experience that will be shared tonight is by the mother of the little girl who experienced it. Our speaker tonight is Jamie Beckstead. She's going to tell you about the near-death experience of her daughter, Faith. Faith's experience was just 2 years ago in 2016 when she was 5 years old. So this is a very recent experience and one from a child. For those reasons, I really, really like this experience. The other thing that makes it quite unique is that it involved this little girl, Faith, seeing a pet. I will turn the time over to Jamie Beckstead. Thank you so much for coming. Oh.
Thank you guys for having me. This is kind of a cool experience for me. I've never done something like this before, so thank you for having me, and I'll just warn you, I'm kind of an emotional person, so I'm probably going to get emotional. A little introduction. I am Jamie Beckstead, and I have three daughters, one who is 11, and my Faith that I'm going to be talking about is 8 years old, and then we have a 2.5-year-old, my husband and I. And so back in 2016, I gave birth to my 2.5-year-old at the time. I gave birth to my daughter, and 2 weeks later, I had taken Faith in to see a doctor because I had noticed just before I was about to have my third child that Faith had a slight lazy eye. It kind of runs in the family, so I thought I'd just go get her checked out. So I took her into the ophthalmologist, and we learned that Faith was completely blind in her right eye, and I had no idea. Here was this 5-year-old that could run and play and do, never shown signs that she wasn't seeing out of her eye, and never told me she wasn't seeing out of her eye because I don't think she knew she wasn't seeing. And so the ophthalmologist then asked to get an MRI within that week, and in that MRI we found that Faith had a brain tumor, and it was fairly large, and it had pinched off the optic nerve and is what caused her to be blind. But we needed to do immediate surgery on to remove this tumor. You can all imagine we were very distraught and scared, and it was a really hard time for us. But my husband and I, we do believe in that there's a higher power, and so we found ourselves begging and pleading for some help and strength during this time. And our neurosurgeon told us it was going to be a long surgery, and it's kind of, with a brain surgery, you never really know what could happen in the middle of the surgery, but they had a plan to remove the tumor and do what they could. And her specific type is a cranial pharyngioma, which typically aren't cancerous, but until they send them into pathology, sometimes in rare cases they can be. So we waited through a long 6.5-hour surgery of her tumor removal. In that time, I think my husband and I had begged and pleaded, I think, more than we ever had for anything to help keep her safe and comfortable. And as a parent, too, I and anybody going in for surgery, I think my fear is always like, what if they think they put her out and she's really not asleep and can feel or hear what's going on? And that was a big fear of mine. So the surgery luckily was successful, and Faith's tumor was removed successfully. She didn't have any type of stroke or major complication. The tumor was attached to her pituitary gland, so they did have to remove that, which at the time, not knowing really what your pituitary gland did, it was a little overwhelming to hear that and know that Faith would have kind of these lifelong things follow her, but we were just thankful that she was okay and that they were able to get the tumor. Because it's the brain, and there was swelling, and it was a long, grueling surgery for her. She was in the ICU for about 3.5 days, and during that time, she was kind of in and out and not quite herself. And then as a few more days went on, Faith started to wake up and see more of herself. The specific day they moved Faith out of the ICU into the neurotrauma unit, it had been a particularly rough day for her and for all of us. That day, I found myself pleading again for some sort of help or comfort or some relief of some sort for her and for us. Maybe for some sort of sign of a higher power to just give us something. We were in the neurotrauma unit, got moved in, and Faith was awake and well. My husband and I were doing shift changes during this time. At this point, I was just getting back up to her room, and my husband and I and my oldest daughter happened to be in the room with her at that time. This was the day she was just awake and more herself than she had been. And she said, "Oh, Mom and Dad, I forgot to tell you where I got to go while I was having my surgery." And my husband and I said, "Oh, where did you go?" And she said, "This woman came and got me and took me to this really pretty place outside." And unfortunately, I wasn't expecting anything like this, so I don't have the exact details of where, but she had a name for where she got to go. And she said it was outside, there's lots of grass and pretty, and that she got to be with our dog Roxy, who had passed away just 2 months before we had to put her down. And she loved that dog and had been so upset for those 2 months that we had to put our dog down. And she said she got to be with Roxy, and that she said to tell us hi, and she loved us, and that she was, our dog was blind as well and was diabetic. And she said Roxy can see and is running, and we had fun, and that she was with a little girl. This woman took me and this little girl and let us play with Roxy. And she said, I said, "Who was the little girl?" And she couldn't remember her name, she said. She said she looked just like me about herself. She looked just like me, but her hair was short, and she pointed to the back of her neck. It was short to here, and it had curls. And she was, I think she was 3, she said. And we got to run and play, and the woman watched us, and there was a bunch of grandmas and grandpas there. I recognized them, but I didn't remember their names. And my husband and I just said, "Well, wow, you know, that's so neat." And in that moment, for him and I, it was emotional, because for me, it was a testament to me that I knew she had been taken care of, and that she wasn't hurting, she wasn't suffering, she was in a happy place, getting to be with people that made her happy, with our dog, with this little girl. And it didn't dawn on me until, I mean, in the moment, my husband and I were just soaking it up, but we had lost a baby between our oldest and Faith. To me, I like to think and feel that maybe that little girl she was with was maybe her sister or something. To me, that's what it feels like. I was trying to say, who was the woman that took you? I don't know. She had long, dark hair. She just stood and watched us, and our grandmas and grandpas watched us play, and then she came back. And then she was just so, it was just kind of short and sweet and blunt, but then it was like, "Hand me my water," and "Where's my Barbie?" And it was just kind of over like that. And my husband and I, like I said, we got emotional, and we liked that. And in that moment, my in-laws came in, and my mom, and so I kind of told them. I had a cousin that had passed away that I was close to while I was pregnant with my oldest daughter. So she'd been deceased before Faith was even thought of. And she had long, long curly hair too. So I thought maybe it was her. So my mom brought a picture of that cousin of mine, and my grandfather, her dad, she brought a picture up. And we said, well, did you see these people? And she said no to my cousin, but that yes to my grandfather. So that was really neat for us too. I don't know for a lot of you what you feel or think about. To us, it just gave us a lot of comfort and hope and peace that maybe there is a higher power out there that can help. For me specifically too, I think that especially in children, that God gives them what they need. And I think for me personally, he gave me that experience through faith too, to know that she's being watched over and taken care of. And at this point, Faith has been doing well. She did end up with another recurring brain tumor, and we had another surgery 6 months later. We don't bring up her experience a lot because she is five, and it was so just raw and sweet, and I didn't want to keep talking about it and have it get tainted somehow or have her try and change the story or something. So we don't bring it up a lot to her. We thought about bringing her tonight, but I really wasn't sure what to expect or what this was, and she's a little rambunctious too, so we didn't bring her, but she's well now and doing well, and I feel like she has a better, I don't know, she doesn't have a fear of life or death like I think a lot of people do. It's just like she feels like she knows there's a higher power watching over her too all the time, and our experience was kind of short and sweet, but meant a lot to us. But if anybody has questions or would like to say.
She's still blind in one eye?
Yes. Faith is still blind in her right eye. The tumor had, it's a slow growing tumor, so they don't know for how long she'd had this tumor, but it had, the reason why she didn't know she was blind, I think it was gradually growing and slowly pinching off that optic nerve. So it slowly was diminishing, and she was so young to even know how to explain that. And they thought that maybe, possibly, once they removed the tumor, that relieving the pressure off that optic nerve, that maybe she could regain some vision. It had been pinched and stretched for so long that, unfortunately, she hasn't. But, however, she doesn't know any different, and you would never know unless she lets her hair hang over her face that she can't see out of that eye. So,
when she had that experience, did you share this experience with her doctors?
I didn't, no.
I just wonder if during that time she lost any of her, you know, if her blood pressure was down, if any of her numbers changed, or if they noticed that she was close to, they were close to losing her during that surgery. It'd be interesting to know if...
That is really awesome, and I wish I thought to even ask that. Mm-hmm. I think it just hit us so quickly that I just didn't even think to ask that. All I know is, after the 6.5 hours, you know, our doctor did say Faith did well and she's doing well now. And at the time, that was all that really mattered. So I didn't really think to correlate and ask if that was something. Yeah. But it is cool. And I can ask, she follows up with her doctor often. So I can ask him if.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
See if that correlates at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I like that.
I was just curious about your relationship with your daughters in general. Like, do you feel like you connect with them? Similarly, when they're feeling things, do you feel that way? I know sometimes parents don't necessarily have those types of connections, but I was just curious about your connection as a mother with your daughters and how that might have tied into your hearing her and experiencing that story that she told you.
Yeah, I do feel like I guess I always just kind of assumed that it was like a mother's intuition type thing, because I feel like even with finding her tumor, things were pulling me in directions that I don't feel like on my own, I don't know that I would have been able to maybe come up with on my own. I feel like there's a connection and a bond that I have with my girls that I do feel, I feel deep for them. And I had some experiences on my own when I was like, I was in a really bad car accident and in a coma and things myself when I was younger. And I feel like that experience that I had really prepared me for what my daughter had gone through. And I do feel like the fears and things she was feeling, I had felt myself. So I felt like it did help me. I feel like that prepared me to help her. And I could explain to her, you know, mommy did this too. And I have MRIs all the time too. And I know that taste you're having in your mouth. And I know that feeling. And a lot of that has helped me with her. And I don't, I mean, I do feel like we have like this soul bond as well, but I think a lot of my own experiences really helped me and prepared me through this experience with faith. My own experience also gave me the faith to know that for me, I believe miracles happen, and I believe this was a miracle. I believe my experience was a miracle. I feel like we have a bond that maybe helps with what she deals with. I know our experiences were different. Mine was my heart. Hers was her brain.
Did she talk at all about the transition? It sounded like you went kind of directly into she was with the woman and it was watching over, but did she say anything about how she transitioned into that situation, or just all of a sudden she was there?
Yeah, she just said, I got to go somewhere. I forgot to tell you where I went, where I got to go during my surgery. And she just said a woman came and got her and watched her. So I just said, well, where did you go? And she said, this really pretty place outside. And at the time, I felt like she gave us a name of where she went, but I don't remember what the name was. She said it was a cool place outside, and there was grass and trees, and they were all running and playing, and that our dog was happy and running and playing with them.
Thanks so much for being here. Yeah. I love the story. I'm just curious about why you chose to name her Faith. Yeah. And while this was going on, she still got a lifetime for that name to play out, but
yes.
While this was going on, did you think this is no coincidence? Like,
100%. Name? It's funny, when I was a little girl, I had picked two girl names. I knew I always wanted to be a mother. I never wanted girls. That's so weird, but I'm like, I don't want to deal with girls. I just want boys. But I had only picked out girl names, which is really funny. And there was two girl names I had picked, and Bailey and Faith were the two girl names. When I got pregnant and I found out my first was a girl, my husband and I decided, I'm like, this one's Bailey. I just felt like this was Bailey. And then I got pregnant again, and we found out it was a girl, and my husband said, so is this Faith? I'm like, this is Faith. What's funny about Faith, about my daughter, is she is my rambunctious, strong-willed, stubborn. She is just a wild little bug. From the time she was in my stomach, she just was wiggling, just a wild thing. She came out screaming. She's so fun. But I said from the beginning, and I even have a journal that I wrote in, this girl is wild, and she's going to take all the faith I've got to raise her. Like, I just knew it. She's just proved it time and time again. And then this hit, and I thought, absolute no coincidence that her name is Faith, because I have to remember that word. I mean, that's who she is. What's really cool, too, is my grandmother is this awesome poet, and she wrote this little poem about Faith. Her middle name is May, Faith May. My grandma, when she was born, wrote this poem about her name, about, I wish I brought it. It was just this cute poem about having faith no matter come what may, and things like that. And it's just, to me, it is no coincidence. And I still think that. She still tests my faith every day. And I love her for it.
In the course of talking about your family, did you ever happen to show her pictures of other ancestors? Because she mentioned grandmas and grandpas.
Yeah.
And my curiosity is whether they were prior ancestors.
Yeah. The night that she brought it up to us, I was just so elated and happy and kind of shocked, too, that she had an experience like this. We spent a long time in the hospital. So it was just like when my mother came, when I told her, she brought the pictures up. And that was kind of the only time I really showed her photos of past ancestors. I've been fortunate enough that the majority of our grandparents are still alive. My husband has more that have passed on, and I don't know that we've shown her Grandpa Gary's picture, or she knew who my mother-in-law's mother was. She said she recognized them but didn't know their names, and I think I just assumed, because she did know who Grandma Bat was, that she would have said, I saw Grandma Bat or somebody, but the rest she had never seen, and she'd never met my grandfather. But I haven't shown her more, and like I said, I didn't bring the experience up a lot to her because I didn't want to taint it. I love these things myself, and the things that Martin shared about the books and things that I love watching movies about these things, that I do need to open a book and let her look through it and see if she ever says anything. Now that she's a little older and is kind of aware of her experience, I just don't know. not that I wouldn't believe her. I would absolutely believe her, but I don't know if she would be able to say, oh, I know this person or not. It would be neat to... The one grandfather, she did say he was there, but my cousin, she said, no, I didn't see her.
With her experience now, looking back on that, does she view that differently? Like, did she realize at the time that she went to a place like heaven, or she kind of felt different about it as she's gotten a little bit older and seen it in a different light?
To her, it wasn't like she'd went to heaven. She'd went to this really cool place. It was happy. She was happy. So to me, that's what it was. When we did talk about it, like I said, I didn't bring it up a whole lot to her. We said, I believe you were in heaven. I believe you were. You were with people that love you and care for you. So she believes that now. I think as she's getting older and understands to us that believe that there's a higher place, and she does believe that there's a heaven and that maybe that's where she went. I don't know, because I've never had this type of experience, I don't know if it's a good idea to bring it up or to not. So I just don't, because it, to us, it's kind of really special. And, you know, as she gets older, I don't want her to be like, oh, and just make something up to go with it or something. She's kind of that way. So I don't know.
I was just wondering if she's had different changes of interest, or have you seen any changes after that experience, just in her personality, or is she just still rambunctious, or
yeah,
is she more sensitive, or?
You know, luckily, because of her condition, we were told, we just didn't know. We didn't know she could have been completely handicapped mentally. She could have, all these things that could have been, or it was really frightening to us. So every little thing is that each day went on that she started to do that was more like faith, even the sass coming out. I'm like, okay, good. That's her. That's what we're used to. She still seems just like herself. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever really know, because she was so young and just starting that curve of learning and things like that. We don't know that it has changed her completely. She seems like a normal 8-year-old. Personality-wise, seems like herself. She does have a little bit of filter issues because it was the frontal lobe. They did a craniotomy in the front. So her frontal lobe was a little messed with, so her filters are kind of off. But then again, she's always kind of been that way too. So her age can play a role in that too. But she has empathy, and she seems like herself.
Hi, thank you for your story. It was beautiful.
Thank you.
Children are always beautiful to listen to their near-death experiences. And my question is almost like the gentleman that just spoke. And, you know, some of the near-death experiences that I've heard in the past where they've come back with gifts, you know, special things they can see or do or present, and you might start to see that. Have you seen any of that so far?
I don't know that she'd come back. Like I said, I've always just felt like she was just born with this spirit that's just larger than life. She's just like that. And I mean, all of our family could attest, and some of our friends. She just has this something about her. And even strangers will say, oh, you can just tell she's full of it. She just has this cute little round face and these glasses and these eyes that just, she is really quick-witted. She does have like an ability to sense when somebody's hurting or upset or something. She's really empathetic, or what's wrong, or are you okay? You know, she kind of has that about her. As far as talents go, I think she's super talented and so smart because she's so quick-witted. She just started bagpipe lessons. That's just faith. She asked for bagpipes, and we're starting bagpipes. She's only had a few lessons, and she's like picking it up. So maybe she was born to bagpipe. I don't know. It's really cool. We're excited about that.
I was going to suggest that maybe you could request the medical records for the surgery and the procedure that was done, and they have to keep track of all of the blood pressure and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you would gain a lot of maybe insight.
I didn't even think of that till she brought it
up. What might have happened.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool. And we see our doctor again in June, that specific doctor, so I would be interested to see.
I would like to thank you as well. I think you're very generous to come and share your beautiful experience with a large group of people. I know that for me it would be hard, because I would think, this is very special. This is almost sacred, and I'm not going to let a lot of people ask questions about it. Yeah. And so I'm just sort of cringing with every question because I'm thinking, be very respectful of you and your daughter and your family, because I think it's just something that's about you all. I just want to congratulate you for not tainting it.
Thank you.
And for not trying to read into it and for not doing all those things, because I think that's what we as adults do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
I appreciate that. It is like super sacred to us and it has meant a lot. But for me, I felt like to share it, it gave me so much hope and peace that I felt like if I can share something that may give somebody that little hope and peace that there might be something out there if you don't believe that, or maybe you just need to hear it, I'm willing to share it. But like you said, I try not, and of course I would love to build on it somehow, but I don't want to change it because I do believe it and I don't want to make it anything more or less than what it was.
I have another question, sorry.
Yes.
I thought someone else would ask, but it's about your pet, your dog.
Yes.
What was the dog's name?
Her name was Roxy.
Roxy, okay.
Yeah.
We have a dog named Roxy too.
Oh.
But I think I heard you say this correctly, but did you say that Roxy told her hi and that she's doing good?
Okay, she said that's the dog. I thought that was really cool too. She said, and she was so excited, I saw Roxy. She told me to say hi and she loves everybody and she's happy and she's running. And to me, I just feel like a five-year-old wouldn't even think of something like that. And she was just elated that Roxy, and she really had a hard time when she passed. She cried about it all the time. And she would pray, please tell Roxy I love her. You know, she loved that dog. So I believe God did that for her. He knew she wanted that and needed that.
That's great.
And for me, it was something big to me too, because I'm like, she couldn't have come up with something like that or known. And it was just a reassurance to me that she's being taken care of and given something to make her happy and deal with this awful thing she's dealing with.
Thanks for telling us.
No.
Must be on the same Ethernet as far as the thought process, because that was actually one of my questions. So were there any other animals that she mentioned as far as, was it just the dog or was the dog with other animals, or do you know if?
I don't know why I kind of left this part out, but there was another dog, she said, and it happened to be our neighbor's dog that passed away years before. She said, yeah, before Faith, she said Roxy was there running around and Tony and Ashley had a dog named Moose. And their dog Moose, they did have a dog named Moose, and Moose was running with Roxy. Yeah, it was really, I didn't bring that up just because I don't know Moose, or I knew it was my neighbor's dog, but to us it was our Roxy dog. There was two dogs.
That's cool.
Running around and playing, so yeah.
Did Faith ever tell her sisters or some of her friends about her experience with Roxy?
My oldest daughter was in the room when she brought it up. So she heard it and she got emotional too because she loved our Roxy dog as well. But the baby was too young. At the time she was only 2 weeks old. So Ellie doesn't know. But Faith still talks about Roxy to this day. And so Ellie talks about Roxy and she never even met Roxy. But she talks about our dog as well. So Faith does. She talks about Roxy a lot, and she does. That's probably the one thing she will continue to bring up here and there is that she got to see Roxy. I think that's the most vivid thing for her and the little girl she saw.
It's so cute and fascinating that she knew Moose.
Yeah.
She didn't know her when she lived on the earth.
Yes.
Did you talk to that family and tell them, and did it bring them joy and hope?
I did. I brought it up to our neighbors. They ended up moving during this time. But our oldest girls are really good friends. And so I told them, I said, I don't know what you want to take of this, and you might come crazy for telling you this. But Faith got to see Roxy, and she said Moose was there. That was really cool for us. It's my friend. So she did get a little emotional and just thought it was neat. But I never really, like I said, went deep into it with her either, because I don't know what she thought of it. But I totally believe they were there together, and I hope it gave them some joy. I have a lot of animal-loving friends that their animals are their babies, and so I like to share that experience with them to give them hope that you'll be with your pets, too.
I I'm thinking that would be a reassuring that at least their dog made it to heaven.
Yes. And Roxy was kind of naughty, so I'm glad to know that even the little naughty can be up there too. She was a good dog.
I was just, after hearing everyone talk, it came to my memory what you said earlier about you were very emotional. You went through a lot, of course, all of us would, with our baby in the hospital waiting for surgery, and such a surgery as it was. Your heart was in it for so long with such deep prayer. I'm thinking that part of her near-death experience is probably an answer to your prayer.
Yeah.
That you got to hear from her when she came back. Mm-hmm. I was being taken care of. Mm-hmm. Lady came and took care of me. So you knew, you know, you kind of said that yourself, that you knew that she was in somebody's hands that was taking care of her.
And that's exactly, you know, for her sake, she needed that. But it was, I believe, meant for me as well, because I had begged and pleaded like I never had before. Even my husband had taken faith up before her surgery and just said, honey, if there's a light or something that comes to you, tell him no. Like, tell him I'm not. He did. He really did. He had this long conversation with her. Please tell him you need to stay here with us. And I mean, I've never begged and pleaded. And like I said, that specific day had just been so hard. I was outside of the hospital sitting on a bench, I can remember, and I was just praying my heart out for some sort of relief, even though I knew in this moment that she was okay. It was still just a lot coming, piling on, and the things we were going to learn that are going to follow us for the rest of our life. Just how am I going to do this? And so to walk up into the room and get that was like this poof, fresh air, and like the biggest hug for me of, okay, she's going to be okay, and I've got her taken care of.
Who was this lady who guided your daughter through heaven?
I wish I knew, and I wish she knew. I remember asking her, did you know her name? And she didn't. What I think is cool, and I hope it's okay that I share it, Martin. Martin has told, we talked for a long period of time on the phone, and what I thought was so neat is he said, a lot of these children say the same thing about a woman coming to them, and I love that. I don't know who it was. I could believe it could be like a heavenly mother type thing. I believe that there's that beyond this world. I just know it was an angel. That's what I like to believe. But I don't know. And I just think it was cool to me because I didn't know that other children had said the same thing. And Martin has said a lot of the children have the same kind of type of looking, long-haired woman that comes to them. And he said the majority of them have a name. The children say the name. Katie.
And Elizabeth.
And Elizabeth, yeah. Katie and Elizabeth. Faith, at the time, she didn't remember. I asked her, who was the woman? Did you know her name? And she couldn't remember.
Beautiful story.
Thank you.
I'd be curious to know how this has affected your personal faith, your personal experience of this life, and what has it done for you?
I wish I could describe it, but it's done more for me than I can even describe. Like I said, I'd had my own experiences that I think really helped build my faith in something higher, just because what I had gone through, I didn't have an experience like faith. I believe that I probably did, but I don't remember because I was in a coma. But I survived something that I shouldn't have. I tore my aorta and had open heart surgery and things like that. And from waking up from that and just building my faith, like knowing that to me, I knew there was a higher power from that moment on. And then just having these things to me, they're like little miracles. And I believe I see God's hand throughout the whole process. And then just with faith having this experience, it just keeps solidifying. It only gets stronger for me. And I like to say it's built a solid rock for my faith that I believe could never be broken or shaken. Something like this happening to your child or to anybody, I think anybody that has cancer, being told something life-threatening like that is so scary and hard. And I can, it opened my eyes to understand how people can believe I've taken a lot of my own searching and pondering and building on my own faith from these experiences. I like to look at it the other way, that there's no way there couldn't be something higher and better, because I don't think if there was, you could get through something like that if there wasn't.
Thank you, Jamie.
No, thank you.
Appreciate you being here. Thank you, your husband and your mom.